There are schools of thought that believe we have unlimited scope and possibilities for making decisions. The truth is that our scope is somehow restricted and we have less room. It is therefore key that we engage in innovative decision-making to optimize opportunities in our business and our personal lives. We need to understand our decision-making skills as individuals and organizations. This will enable us to adjust accordingly to the constant changing environment. Question: if Jesus had taught at Harvard Business School on these related issues, what would he have to say? My name is Tinuke Akinbulamo. Welcome to today's episode of the If Jesus Taught at Harvard Business School podcast. In this episode, I will be interviewing Ade Ojomo, a management consultant with KUW Advisory Group, on his perspective of the year 2021 based on key benchmark parameters, which will enable us to determine how the year went for both our personal and corporate life.
Well, hello. Lovely to have you on my show today, Mr. Ojomo.
Well. I wonder what you've got in stock in me. I mean, I'm always used to getting you doing the intros, but I guess I'm in the firing line now.
Well, welcome to If Jesus Taught at Harvard Business School. And today we are going to have a session where we're talking to Mr. Ade Ojomo, and we're going to be looking back on 2021 and how it went. So, welcome, Ade.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks for all the work you've done this year for us. The intros and the exits, or what do you call it? Intro and the
outro.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right term, but I call them out.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a series of questions, basically to find out how 2021 has been for you.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about them in different sections. So I'm going to start off with vision.
Wow. That word. Yeah.
Vision, yes, that word. So what would you describe as your vision statement for life? Do you have a vision statement for life?
Very, very, very interesting question. But let's deal with the word vision. And, there are various definitions of visions that I've heard over the years. But quite interestingly, the best that I've heard was from the senior pastor of Jesus House for All Nations, Pastor Aguiruku.
Okay.
And he defined vision as a divinely inspired mental picture. So in other words, it's a mental picture that's put upon an individual's heart. Now, the beauty of that is that sometimes when people talk about a vision, sometimes you think they're crazy, but actually they're not crazy, because when you look at that definition and you see the fact that it is a picture, it's a mental picture, it says it's a divinely inspired picture. So if it's inspired, that inspiration has to come from somewhere.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not going to go into details as to where it can come from. But if we look at some examples, so for example, I see Bill Gates. I mean, Bill Gates was talking about, he sees a time when there will be a computer in every single home. Now, at that point in time when he was saying it, none of us saw that picture. He saw the picture, and today we're using his product right now to do this recording. That's one example. If you look at Mandela also said that there was a mental picture put upon his heart that one day there will be a free South Africa. You understand? Now, where did he get that inspiration from? That inspiration must be from some divine source, because I heard that he spent 6 years out of the 27 years in a solitary confinement. Mm-hmm. Now, that picture has to be pretty strong to keep you resilient, to be able to spend 6 years in a solitary confinement. He saw something that we didn't see. He saw a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, even if we go further back, we're told that the Almighty God told Abraham to go outside and look at the stars.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what Abraham saw, but I can guarantee you that it was a divinely inspired picture, because this is a guy that was told, leave your family, leave your location, and go somewhere that you've never been before. Now, it must take some pretty strong faith, which I believe was driven by this inspiration that enabled him to do that. So if you look at these three case studies we've spoken about, there has, you know, when you talk about vision, it has to be a divinely inspired picture, mental picture, something that only you see.
That's just what I was going to say. Something that only you see. Because clearly people don't see what your vision is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
exactly. You're going to ask me, what do I see?
So what do you see exactly? So what, I'm assuming that your answer to that question is that you do have a vision statement for life.
I would say to a certain degree, I would say yes. And the reason why I'm saying yes is that when I look at my career in management consulting over the years, when I see the various projects that I've worked on, when I see the various solutions we've given clients, you know, when I see the various responses, and then to crown it all, when I see what is actually going on now, I see a time when individuals, nations, and organizations will begin to seek solutions, not from conventional sources, but from unconventional sources. And that unconventional source has to be divinely inspired, because like you see right now, the world is crying for answers to a lot of issues. I mean, we'll talk more about that later on. But I see myself as a vessel that maybe God wants to use, because it's one thing to provide a divinely inspired mental picture, which we've spoken about, the vision. But the challenge is, how do you communicate this to the populace? How do you communicate this to people and communicate it in such a way that they don't say you're crazy? Because I guarantee you, when Mandela said that there was going to be a free South Africa, when Bill Gates said there was going to be a computer in every single household, when Abraham told Sarah that, you know what, I don't know where we're going, but we're going somewhere, you understand? He had to be able to communicate it in a language that they could understand. So if I'm talking about, there will be a time when the source of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we need is going to be unconventional, I have to be able to deliver it in such a way that people hang on to that mental picture that I see. Yeah. So I would say, in a way, yes.
Okay, fantastic. So you said yes, and you've also kind of told us what it is. Brilliant. My next question then is, on a scale of 1 to 10, what rate would you give yourself when it comes to the alignment of your time in 2021 with this vision that you just told us about?
I would honestly say that I started the year with a lot of plans and a lot of momentum. But along the way, I'll be honest with you, because at the end of the day, when we come on this program, we don't want to be giving people sort of quoted answers, but we want to be real and transparent. So I would honestly say that when I started the year, I started it with a lot of plans, momentum. But along the way, guess what? I lost focus. I lost discipline. I lost order. And I lost structure totally, I'll be honest with you. Now, the last structure even provided further challenges with the passing away of my father. So I would probably say 5, to be honest. I would say 5. But you know, the positive thing about this, at least I had a benchmark to benchmark my life against. You know, probably would be more upset if at the end of the year you asked me this question and there was nothing to sort of benchmark against. But at least, from the first question you asked me, which is about the vision and what I'm trying to achieve, I can look at my life and benchmark and say, you know what? I give myself a 5.
Okay. Not too bad. Pass mark, I guess. Well done. But we want a 10 next year, please.
Yeah, we need to improve that. We need to improve that. But as I said, the takeaway, why I'm happy about the fact that, well, it could be more than a 5, but for me, the fact that I had something to benchmark my life against, it's a key, key gain for me personally.
Okay, so you said you've got to do better. Yeah. So what will you do better in 2022 when it comes to the alignment of this vision?
To be honest, this one is actually an easy answer, I'll be honest with you, because I gave some hints of what the issue was in the last question. Yeah. And it's an easy one for me, because the drivers for the accomplishment of any vision in any country, wherever you go, drivers for you to be able to accomplish any vision is, again, you need to be focused, you need to be disciplined, you need to have some form of order, you know, not always operating in chaos. And that's why they say, when you're operating in chaos, try to find the eye of the storm, because that's where the peace is. Yeah. And then also the last one is structure. Now, the quote below is from a famous billionaire who used to be the president of the United States of America, and I'm not going to mention his name. But interestingly, he said something which is relevant. He said, don't get sidetracked. If you get sidetracked, get back on track as soon as possible. Ultimately, sidetracking kills you. So that allows me to answer that question, because a key thing I need to do actually before we even enter the year 2022, is to actually identify those things that have kept me off track. And as you know, the grace needs to be plentiful. So I need to ask God for that grace, not to get sidetracked, but to focus on things that really matter. Because why I give myself a five is that if I do an honest review of last year, a lot of the times I was investing my time in things that I thought matter, but they really didn't matter. So,
okay, so can I stop you there and ask you a question? How are you going to identify if you are investing your time in stuff that you thought mattered, but you found out later it didn't matter? At the point when you were investing your time, you thought it mattered. So how are you going to overcome that in 2022?
It's a very valid question, because the answer to that is later on, but I'm actually going to address it now. Because, you know, I mentioned the fact that it's important to be focused. Yeah. One of the things that I'm going to take into the year 2022, and I tell my children this thing quite a lot. I say, you need to learn to ponder. You need to be able to take a step back. A lot of times, speaking for myself, I wasn't doing that. So something comes on your tray and I've done this before. But in reality, regardless of whether you've done it before, taking a step back to say, what's this thing about? You know, is it relevant? Yeah. It may have been relevant last year, but it may not be relevant this year. So it's really taking a step back. And, you know, even though I may know the answers to certain things, but, you know, I call it humility. Take a step back and say, you know what? This thing has come again. Am I going to use the same approach? Or am I going to use a different approach? Or from a defining of my objectives for that particular quarter, day or week, do I need to do this thing now? I think if I can have the grace and the patience to do that, I think I will be able to put all these activities in the right, in the right bucket for the year. So I think it's taking that step back. I think I found myself rushing, doing a lot of things. That's why I got sidetracked.
So you're going to pause and you're going to ponder.
And I'll tell you what the ponder means at the end of the session. I've actually created an acronym. Acronym. Yeah, for ponder, which hopefully should help me.
Okay. All right. So we've dealt with vision. Let's move on to mission now. Yeah. Do you have a tagline for your vision in terms of a mission statement?
Yeah, tagline. Yeah, I think I sort of try, because that's a very valid question, because when we're talking about vision, I spoke about the fact that a vision is a divinely inspired picture which is placed upon your heart. Mm-hmm. And like you quite rightly said, sometimes only you really understand the journey, somebody's telling me there's going to be a, let's forget about Mandela for now. Let's talk about
Noah,
the one in America, Martin Luther King, where he's telling the people that, you know, one day, you know, I see a time when the white man and the black man will be walking hands in hands and singing, you know, I wouldn't say kumbaya because some people may think it's a bit racist, but the people then couldn't comprehend, because a week before they hung some black people in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. But the question is, he saw something that none of us could see, that amongst all the chaos, he was still able to stay at the eye of the storm and, how can I say, understand that mental picture that God placed upon his heart that, you know, Martin, it's going to happen. And then years later, we saw Obama becoming the president of the United States of America. But how do you communicate that to people in such a way that they can understand? And that's the importance of a tagline. So if we look at Nike says, just do it. You know, there's no complication. Although if you read the book is called the owner, the guy that formed Nike wrote a book.
All right.
Okay. And that wasn't the vision, you know, but everybody you speak to and you talk about Nike, the tagline, just do it.
Yeah.
I know you're going to like this one. L'Oreal. You could probably, what's it for L'Oreal?
Because you're worth it.
You know, it's a tagline that people can relate to. And from the tagline, they can begin to try and understand, you know, what your vision is all about. Or you're going to like this one as well. The Bears, the Diamond People.
Oh, gosh, what is it? I know that in the back of my head.
A diamond is forever.
Diamond is forever, yes.
So it's a tagline. So, you know, so as I said, I spoke earlier about a vision being a divinely inspired mental picture. So I guess for me, you know, based on what I spoke to you about, the fact that there's going to be a time when unconventional wisdom has to be divinely inspired on everybody's heart so that we can solve some of the complex problems that we're facing now. Because if you look at the world now, we're lost. You know, it's as if we're trying everything by trial and error. So for me, I guess my tagline would be, transforming insights into solutions. And that insight is what is the divinely inspired mental picture. So it's an insight, but I have to be able to transform it into solutions or it's worthless. So I guess for me, transforming insights into solutions is really the tagline for what I'm trying to achieve. And, you know, I can relate that to my vision. I see my role as supporting that tagline.
Okay.
And how we support that tagline, we'll talk about that later on in the show.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So how effective have you been this year, 2021, when it comes to communicating your mission in terms of your words, thoughts, and actions?
Yeah. Remember I said I lost focus along the way. So we've established that. But it still doesn't mean I shouldn't mention some of the, you know, some of the tools and the vehicles that, you know, are sort of launched. I mean, you were part of the launch for some of them. I mean, there are three flagship podcast episodes that I'm planning to build on top of that. You know, the global plan is to build a global portal, and every aspect of that portal is that tagline. So any part of the portal you go to, you're transforming insights into solutions. You're transforming insights into solutions, regardless whether it's by podcast, whether it's by TV, whether it's by social media, whether it's by radio. The tagline is transforming insights into solutions. At the end of the year, if any of those components are not doing that, then I have to decide. And there's another tool that I've just created. I'll talk about that towards the end. And that enables you to whittle out what you should be investing your time in and what you should not be investing your time in. So as I said, these three flagships that I've mentioned, if Jesus taught at Harvard Business School, it's what we're doing now, end of year review. There's another one called KUW Insights. And there's another one called The Diary of a Praying CEO. And the aim of these three podcasts is it basically addresses three segments of people. So The Diary of a Praying CEO addresses, you know, senior executives and chief executive officers to say, we know your life at the top is complex, but do you have time to have a board meeting with God? You understand? The KU Insights is more something that I've been doing for, I would say, since the year, a long time, 2003. And it's really a chronicle of my life as a management consultant. And it's like a journal, but it's a journal written from a professional point of view. And then backing it up with scriptures that I've used over the years, you know, to solve problems or to meditate upon. So it's like a mini journal, but combined with technical speak, spiritual speak, and, you know, other kinds of speak, basically being real. And If Jesus Taught at Harvard Business School is something I started in Jesus' house many years ago. And the idea for that was at 36,000 feet. And it was just a quick whip across my face to say, I was reading the Harvard Business Review magazine and something just said, what if Jesus was a lecturer at Harvard Business School? What would he teach about? And I came down and I started jotting on the plane, and that's how the whole idea came. And I mean, how many years later, we're still running with the vision. But like I said earlier, the question you asked earlier is very, very useful for me, because if the tagline cannot fit to any of those flagship programs, then I'm really wasting my time. And I guess that's why I lost focus this year.
So would you then be checking in maybe every quarter to see if they're hitting the tagline, or will you wait till the end of 2022 before you then make that decision?
That's one of the benefits of doing the show today, because even though I'm talking and I'm, you know, where you ask me these questions, I actually want to, before going into year 2022, at least have a yearly plan in place, which is divided into quarters, and start putting all these elements into the various quarters. Now, the rule number one for any of these things, deliverables, agendas, tasks, any of them, before they can enter any of the how many buckets do we have a year if you divide it into quarter? That's four buckets of 3 months, isn't it? Yeah. So any of them will not enter any of those buckets if they don't fit with the tagline. That's rule number one. I mean, you're always going to be flexible. Yeah. For example, going to play football, you may say, how does that relate to transform insights into solutions? The bottom line is, if I'm not healthy, how am I going to do that? So you understand, sir?
Yeah. No, we're talking. Yeah. Okay, cool. That works.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're approaching 2022.
Yeah.
Do you have a strong sense that changes are due in some key areas of your life in order for you to stay true to this mission for your life?
Yeah. I spoke about it earlier. Discipline and focus. It's absolutely, I mean, I need to take that to the next level, you know, discipline and focus. And I already know what the the repercussion of that's going to be. I may lose some friends. It may be a case where some friendships may have to go. Some friendships that are weak may have to be strengthened. So there's going to be a lot of sacrifice because it's the only way. Some TV programs may have to be totally, you know, I mean, it's a whole changing of the mind. You know, I mean, one of the things I've just developed now is audiobooks. Okay. And I tried it last week. No, actually, I tried it 2 days ago. And amazing. I'm listening to an audiobook called The Psychology of Money, written by a guy who I can't remember his name. But so what I did is I downloaded it into my phone with my earphones, and I went to bed at 11 o'clock. I'm not lying. You know, Pastor Agu mentioned it many years ago about the importance of having a jotter by your bedside.
Yeah.
Or listening to something before you go to bed because your subconscious begins to play. I woke up in the morning, and I'm 100% sure if you ask my wife, she must say, what's this guy talking about? Because I woke up in the morning and I would say something like, money is not a god, or something that I had heard in the in the audiobook. But it just makes you realize that, you know, whether it's the Bible, whether it's an audiobook, whether it's a book on money, psychology, it's actually entering your subconscious, and you're not going to know when you're going to bring it to the surface again.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a price.
Pay attention to what you listen to, what you hear.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why if you notice, they say when kids watch horror movies, so that's why a lot of times they wake up in the middle of the night scared, because the last thing that's entering their subconscious is evil, you know. Discipline and focus. I mean, I just know that that's going to have to move to the next level next year, and it's going to be a lot of sacrifice. I mean, everything has to fit into that tagline, you know. I'm not always going to get it right, but at least I know that. I mean, let me give an example. You know, I spoke to you about the fact that I was supposed to do a writing course this year. Yeah. I was supposed to finish that course last year. I asked for an extension. The extension runs out next year, and I haven't started. And I know if I ask them for an extension again, they're not going to take me serious. So I know next year is going to be a lot of sacrifices, but it has to be done. It has to be done. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. We're now going to look at core values. What would you say are your guiding principles in life?
I'm laughing because a straight answer would be the Bible. I mean, that's what everyone says, but I'm beginning to realize you've got to be specific.
Be a bit more specific.
Exactly. Yeah. So over the years, actually, I would say over the past couple of years, I've identified two key scriptures, which I know, I can tell you for a fact, are going to be my guiding scriptures till Jesus decides it's time to go home. The first one has always been there. It's always been there. I quote it all the time. And it's from Job. And it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." I mean, I've had that for, I would say, over 5, 6, 7 years. But one that I discovered last year was from the book of Isaiah. And it says, "In repentance and rest is my salvation, and in quietness and confidence is my strength." Now, from those two scriptures are my guiding, what I would say my guiding principles. Because it tells me that when it comes to understanding a situation, it's based on departing from every form of associated evil with that situation.
Yeah.
When it comes to understanding. When it comes to wisdom, your wisdom has to be based on godly fear. You know, I was talking about unconventional wisdom, because you could say there's wisdom from the world and there's wisdom from God. Yeah. So the wisdom that I so seek constantly has to be based on that situation. If the fear of God is not in that situation, then definitely there's no wisdom in that area, or whatever solution you're trying to apply is not based on, you know, it's not based on the So that's understanding. So the tagline, or the question I need to constantly ask myself as a guiding principle, is: in the situation I'm facing, which wisdom or understanding is guiding me? Wisdom based on godliness, or wisdom based on ungodliness? So that always has to remain. And the beauty of that one is you can apply it in your role as a husband, in your role as a father, in your role as an ambassador of Christ. You know, when situations come, you say, okay. And that's why the importance of this pondering, you know, this thing I spoke about earlier, about taking a step back and really pondering. So that's the first one. So now, the next.
What would Jesus do type of thing?
In a way. But it's getting to that point where you take a step back and say, you know, you're right, what would Jesus do? And the devil is, you know, he's, you know, remember we spoke about distractions earlier, being sidetracked. That's all he needs to do to get you away from that line of thinking. Yeah. And then the other one I said, in repentance and rest is my salvation. In quietness and confidence is my trust. Now, how does that work for me? Simple. Always be repentant of your shortcomings and seek your rest by going to the rock of Christ that is always higher than any situation. And that's through worship and through prayer and through stuff like that. In other words, and I mentioned this earlier, there's always going to be chaos. There's always going to be storms, but you need to find the eye of the storm, because that's where the enemy doesn't want us to get to. Because once you can get there, you relax. Everything around you can do what it wants to do. But again, the challenge is, how do I get there? It tells you, in quietness and in trust, you will always be in the eye of the storm. So when it comes to decision making and getting my point across, quietness, not loudness. You see, quietness, not loudness. Confidence and not fear is what guides you. So I strongly believe that these two scriptures basically encapsulates all my guiding principles for now and in the future.
Okay, fantastic. So now that you've given us those, how effective have you been in aligning your life to them in 2021?
I sort of answered that earlier, but I'm just a quick summary. There's room for improvement, and it's quite funny that when situations happen, I actually remember them. But as you know, we always falter on some occasions. That's why the abundance of God's grace is very, very important. Because sometimes, you know, you're like, I should be doing this. But, you know, the world can play some funny tricks on us. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you've identified that there's room for improvement and that you improve. Can you tell us specific ways? Is it still back to that discipline and focus? Okay.
You're absolutely right. But now I can reveal the acronyms. Okay. Remember, I mentioned two. I said ponder and focus. Remember? So focus. Now, anytime I think about the word focus, the acronym is for focus. F for fix. Always fix your eyes on something. And for me, it will be fix my eye on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Yeah. O, observe. Always be observant of situations. Always be observant. Be an observer. The C is consider. Consideration. Always consider. The U is understand. Okay. Understand. And the S is silence. We need to appreciate the power of stillness, where a situation happens and rather than rush to give an answer or rush to provide, and you see it all the time, you know, husbands, we're guilty of it. We always have answers for our wives, whereas sometimes all they want us to do is just keep quiet. You know, that stillness. We had a litmus test in one of the meetings that I conducted, where I said, everyone, we're not going to talk for the next 15 minutes.
Oh, I just made people struggle.
Oh, after 3 minutes, you could see people basically shaking like this. I had to stop it after 5 minutes. But wow. I think that if it becomes a habit, then we will get much better. Because a lot of times when we're told Jesus needed that stillness and he always went away, because he probably understood that we haven't got to that level where we can be still. You understand? Mm-hmm. So that's for fix. And then ponder. Oh, sorry. You want to read?
No. The focus. Fix.
Yep.
Observe.
Yep.
Ponder. Yep. Understand.
Yep.
And silence.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And the ponder is P for pause.
Okay.
Pause. Just chill. As they say, stay your lane. O for observe again.
Yeah.
N for note. Note. Not do something, just note.
Note. Yeah.
D for discern.
Yeah.
E for examine or evaluate.
Okay.
And then the last one is when you actually make a decision, it's when you actually respond. So the R is for respond. Yeah. So I really feel that if one can really meditate on these things, I mean, you can see from what I've just defined, if one can get to the level where you can just take that step back, then you're able to focus on the rest of the other ones. Because remember, the fact for focus, we said fix. Mm-hmm. And when you're fixing, it's like
your eyes something.
Yeah. Get away, get rid of all the distraction.
Yeah.
Or fix. that fix could be one day, it could be 2 days, it could be 30 minutes. The beauty of this thing is that is, it, you know, you hear fix and you're thinking, no, that fix could be a struggle. It could be, to get that fix, you may have to do some serious prayer, or you may have to take a walk. You know, sometimes when you take a stroll, it enables you to fix. Pausing as well, like for the ponder, you know, pause. Hey, shut down everything and just say, you know, like a pause button on a CD. You're shutting down. You don't want to hear anything, which gives you the ability to think of the rest.
Under that, I love the fact that you start off by pausing and then you have four more steps before you respond.
Yeah.
I like that. You have to then observe, you have to note, you have to discern, evaluate, and then respond.
Exactly.
I'm impressed that I remembered all of
this. Oh. But you know, we tend to do it in reverse, don't we? We tend to respond.
Then come round to,
Okay,
brilliant. Okay, so now we're going to move on to stakeholders and relationships.
Oh, do we need a break before we continue?
No, we do not need a break. We're going straight in. Who have been the key people in your life in 2021?
I'm not going to be religious and say God. Okay.
Real. And a lot of, not that God hasn't been a key person, but a lot of people.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Real people.
I mean, of course, the family in terms of my wife and children. I think having to work from home has given one a better understanding of strengths and weaknesses vis-a-vis the numerous arguments and discussions, you know, to be honest. I think with the passing away of my father, I learned to appreciate my brothers and sister much more as we, you know, as we grew closer from planning the funeral and also preparing for the wedding of my brother. And because I was away for a whole month in Nigeria, I actually began to appreciate them for who they were. And I think I'm going to be a champion of, I think if you have family abroad, one should really try and go and see them, you know, regularly, because, you know, speaking to somebody via a telephone doesn't actually give you the true representation of who the person is.
Yeah.
There were tears of joy, there were tears of sadness, as, you know, for the first time in a long time, we all sat down, we stayed in the same place for over a month planning, you know, seeing people's different skills and beginning to appreciate people much more. So I would say family for me in 2021, I would say family. Of course, there have been some key people work-wise, but these are people that are probably always going to be working with. But from a learning point of view and beginning to really appreciate people and beginning to learn the fact that, you know, I'm not a change agent. You know, it's not my role to change people. Everybody, like they say in Nigeria, stay your lane. You know, everybody has their own lane.
Yes. And
it's appreciating people as they take their lane. You know, you can either be a support, somebody that's going to crash them out of the lane, you know. I won't mention names in Formula One of somebody that did that, but but I think family for me. 2021, definitely family.
Okay, so I was going to ask you to describe your relationship with these people, but I think you've kind of done that. I'll leave that question. Okay, so what are your plans in terms of managing them and improving relationships as you enter 2022? You've already said that for family abroad, when you try and visit more often, is there anything else that you will do to like improve these relationships?
Yeah, I think just be authentic, to be honest. Don't try and be what you're not. Be open and honest. I think a lot of times we shy away from confrontation and arguments. I know I've told you this before. In my younger years, I hated confrontation and I hated malice. You know, when people say "don't talk to me again" and stuff like that, I used to find myself being the one that was the peacemaker. You know, trying to win friendship through. You know, and then it was terrible because people start to manipulate. But once I began to appreciate who I am. Adeboy Godjoma, for what God created me to be, and to be more authentic. I actually found out people actually respected you more because I remember when I was working for PricewaterhouseCoopers, I'll never forget what one of the partners said to me, and it stuck with me. He said, you know, Adi, you know what? You know, everyone that comes through that door to come and see me, I already know their agenda. So I've been a consultant for so many years. I've learned the art of discerning people. So he said, with me, just be who you are. He says, I've already read you before you enter the office. I've been doing this thing. I've been dealing with clients at top level, low level. You can't basically bamboozle me, is what he was saying. Yeah, so with me, Ade, I appreciate you. Just be authentic, be open. Yes, sometimes we may argue, sometimes we may not be in agreement, but you know what? I will always respect you for being open and honest. And that thing has stuck with me for a very long time, that this thing actually works in any country. You know, the fact that he was saying, if you suck up to me, I will know. So just be yourself. And I think that's the only way, even with your brothers, with your wife, with your, in any setting you find yourself, just be authentic. Is it easy to do? That's another thing. Is it easy to do? But like I said, the fact that you've acknowledged it as a strength or weakness is the first step. And I think along the years, you can begin to, you know, train. No, I won't say train yourself. You can begin to. I'm just fortunate that I have a family and I have friends that appreciate me for who I am. You know,
You know what I think it is about that? I think the reason people are worried or try not to, because when you're being your authentic self, you are effectively being quite vulnerable.
Which I couldn't handle in the past. Yeah. But I've learned, but I'll be honest with you, one of the greatest things God ever did for my life is working for PricewaterhouseCoopers as a management consultant, because it exposed me to different types of people. I mean, I've had the advantage of being able to work not just in one part of the globe, the four corners of the world I've worked in, and I've seen cultures, I've seen different people. But what has kept me, I still have a relationship with most of them. And I think, you know, not trying to blow my trumpet or saying I'm a perfect person, but when I look at the relationships and why they've been successful, is that I've never for once tried to change who I am. And that's as a Christian. You know, I sort of don't rub it in their faces. You know, you have to remember, I spoke about it earlier, that, you know, we have to find a way to deliver these frameworks of unconventional wisdom to people that don't understand what you mean by divinely inspired mental picture. You know, you have to find a way. Bill Gates found a way. Steve Jobs found a way. Mandela, these guys found a way to deliver that mental picture to the populace that, you know, we're benefiting from it right now. So everyone has to find a way. There's a mental picture on everybody's heart. Now, you got two choices. You either deliver it from a space of pride, or you deliver it from a space of humility. The choice is yours. So,
and the phrase that comes to my mind that my daughter is always saying to me is, make it make sense. She's like, Mom, make it make sense. Make it make sense.
did you watch Philadelphia? If you watch Philadelphia in the courtroom, when Denzel Washington said, you know what, you're confusing me right now. Speak to me as if you're speaking to a 2-year-old. In other words, just make it simple.
Make it make it. Okay, fantastic. So now we're going on to an internal assessment. What did you learn about yourself in 2021?
Actually, before we move on to that, I just want to talk a bit more about relationships, because I know you were asking me, what are my plans in 2022 of improving these relationships? I think that was one of the questions. First of all, managing people is the most difficult thing. You know, I said, I'm not a change agent, and I've learned many years ago, don't try and change people. And when I say people, your wife, your children, your friend, anybody.
Yeah.
But one of the books I'm planning to read in 2022 is a book called Understanding People by Larry Crabb, Dr. Larry Crabb. Yeah. I'm sure Dr. Zoe Ekundayo, who is the Jesus House in-house counselor, will probably know about this book. It's been on my bookshelf for a long time, but I'm beginning to appreciate the fact that people, we are complex. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't, without the help of the Holy Spirit or without understanding people, you're just going to miss it. So that's one of the books. There's another book which I've been planning to read for the past 5 years called How People Grow by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend.
Oh, I have their book on boundaries. They did the boundaries.
Oh, their boundaries. And the reason why I want to read this book, because at the end of the day, the Almighty God's love was geared towards people. That's what God was all about. It was about people. And in order to love people, we need to understand them. And we need to support them in their growth. So I think these two books will help. You know, the first one is Understanding People by Dr. Larry Crabb. which God does. I mean, his grace upon us is just, I mean, like, where do we start? Are we, with our cranky self, he still loves us. And then I think for me, the reason why I want to read the How People Grow is that I also have to understand that people grow at different rates, and you have to be a supporter, not a disturber of their growth. Regardless of how slow they may be growing, that's not your own problem. God is not complaining, so who are you to complain? So, and it's not just in the home front, also in the workplace, because sometimes I get very, you know, you're trying to solve a problem and somebody comes with a, what you think is a cracky idea, you're like, oh, but then you got to learn to appreciate people. So I think...
It's also that stay in your lane thing, isn't it? If they're running in their lane, and it's completely different to yours, you can't try and pull them into your race.
I know. It reminds me of what a friend told me when he was complaining about the fact that his daughter's rooms were always untidy, and God called him, is it bothering them? He said no. Exactly. He said, you got two choices, you either tidy the room for them or you stay your own lane. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. Our next section, we're going to talk about internal assessment.
Okay.
And I would like to know what you learned about yourself in 2021.
Wow.
Did you learn?
I mean, if you look at the answers to the other questions you asked me, anyway, I think I am. I think I needed, I think, you know, as I said, passing away of my dad and the improvement in the relationship with my siblings back in Nigeria has done quite a lot, because, you know, now I'm beginning to realize that when there's an issue, look at yourself first rather than trying to look at other people. I think I haven't got there yet, but, you know, by God's grace, I will. And it's not just on the home front, but even at work, you know, beginning to, and that's why those acronyms we spoke about earlier will help, you know, the focus and the ponder. I think they will really help. As I said earlier, one of the things I've learned in, I consider I have three roles, right? A husband, a father, and for the general populace, an ambassador of Christ. You know, we are representatives of Christ here on earth. But like I said earlier, I'm not a change agent. That's you know, lesson number one. It's not my role to change anybody. I don't even have the power to change anybody. People will grow at the pace that God has scheduled them to grow at. So, you know, either support them or stay in your lane. I can only change the way that I respond to things, both at home and in the marketplace. I quite like the style that Jesus used in influencing people. He never forced people to change, but he sort of let his words, thoughts, and deeds do the talking. I mean, the amount of times the Bible tells us that he just did something or he says something, and the Bible says they were amazed.
Yeah,
you know, it says they were amazed. You know, his words, his thoughts, and his deeds tended to influence people to do the right thing.
Yes.
You know, you. I think the only people he was sort of violent at with words were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and to be honest, they really deserved it. But to everyone else, I mean, one of the best scenes that taught me a lot about understanding people and how you respond to people. If you watch The Passion, or if you watch any well-documented Bible series, and it came to the place where the prostitute was about to be stoned. And the way Jesus handled that thing is just a lesson in the art of communication. I mean, I just, I'm like, why couldn't I think that way? It's because it's unconventional, you know? Yeah. These guys were like, we're going to stone this woman because she's broken the law, which Jesus said to them, yeah, fact is she's broken the law. Yes, she has. But it's how he got them to look within themselves by saying, yeah, she's broken the law. But before you stone her, ask yourself, have any of you sinned?
Yeah.
And for me, the art of communication whereby he didn't have an army, he didn't have the brigade of guards. He spoke one word, and the Bible tells us that this was a mob. A mob is not 100 people. A mob is thousands of people. And with the right words, he disarmed the mob. Mm. And then the key bit is about loving and understanding people, is that he took a step further and went to the woman, and he didn't say you're a prostitute. You know, if it was, you know, I was going to say a Nigerian word that they call prostitute, but I thought this is not the right channel to say that. But you know what I'm going for, that when you catch somebody in that art in Nigeria, the first thing you're going to call her. But he went to her and he says, where are your accusers? And I am not accusing you.
Yeah.
You know, so you see such a woman where Jesus has come back to restore her dignity, basically, and say, in my eyes, you're not a prostitute, but remember, as a child of God, go away and sin no more.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, that woman's going to remember that for the rest of her life. And I think as an ambassador of Christ, as a husband and also as a father, I think that's how we should relate to people. You make them, you know, give them a sense of dignity and worth. And that's something I learned in Nigeria, because, you know, in Nigeria, I traveled a lot and we had things like helps, drivers. And one thing I found out that if you treated these people like human beings, they will move mountains for you.
It's about love, isn't it? It's about love, proper love of God, love.
Yeah. My auntie was telling me that when I left, they were asking for me for the past. When is he coming back again? Because it's, you know, I remember a day I was, they brought me yam and, you know, something delicious, and I finished eating it and I picked up my plate and I took it to the kitchen. And when I got to the kitchen, the lady was like, why did you do that? I was coming. But I said, but I was coming to the kitchen anyway.
Yeah.
And you could see the sort of look on her face that, you know, that appreciation that in reality, how long does it take for you to pick up your plate and take it to the kitchen? But in reality, in some countries, the master of the house is not going to do that. He's going to just leave it there. So I think one of the things I learned in my relationships with my family in Nigeria was, when you treat people with dignity and respect, they'll go the extra yard for you. It's not about the money you give them. You know, sometimes we think it's the money. It's not. It's how you treat them.
And on that note about the importance of treating people with dignity and respect, we end part one of this episode with some take-home points from the discussion around the review of the year 2021. Number one, a vision is a divinely inspired mental picture that is placed upon the heart of an individual, providing a guiding light for the future. Number two, a mission statement is a statement or tagline which provides a well-defined picture on the reason for the existence of an individual or an organization. It can also be defined as a statement of intent. Number three, core values provide behavioral guidelines and principles on how individuals or organizations conduct themselves in achieving their sense of purpose and value. And number four, people are key, and it is important that in our relationships with people, we understand them and support them in their growth. My name is Tinuke Akimbulumo. Goodbye and God bless.